who made an impact on your faith in the church? Who do you think that changed me in some kind of way?
I've only had two pastors at Kirkcart, yourself, Derek, and Chris. And Chris's early days preaching was just like, you just felt as if he was speaking right to you, you know. That's, you know, you look back now and think, what, but he's just speaking to me. It was one of the ones, you know. And I get that quite a lot, you know, the convictions early on when Chris was preaching. Very influenced by, I mean, I said at my wedding that the way that Jim conducts himself shows love to his wife and how he conducts it and all that kind of business. Mm-hmm. I think the men in Kirkcart really influenced me, how they showed love and things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, the consistency, the faithfulness of the men, a lot of the men, mm-hmm. you know, Alan, because you weren't so much there in my, but you know, Eric and things like that, you know, how mm-hmm. these guys were just, as a young man looking at that and thinking, this is how I need to conduct myself. Mm-hmm. That was very influential. But Chris's mm-hmm. teaching early on was fantastic for me. Mm-hmm. Real eye-opener of the Bible. You know, mm-hmm. it was the shallow of shallow end of the pool that I needed mm-hmm. to swim in. I enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. That was me, you know, but seeing the guys, you know, thinking, oh yeah, this is how you're meant to conduct yourself mm-hmm. as a man of God, you know. That was encouraging.
Yeah. I think of the old school, I suppose, really, people like Harry and Anne, George and Anne, mm-hmm. The McVickers,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Neil and Margie McVicker, who'd been there as youth, obviously been there as youth,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And stayed the course. They'd been in the church for decades and decades. You know, and their sort of faithfulness and just, you know, throughout all sorts of things, changes of ministers, pastors, all sorts of upheavals, I guess, and because churches do have upheavals from time to time, and they just were constant, they were just there. Mm-hmm. And the wisdom, if you know, you'd hear the wise words coming out sometimes, because you get the impetuousness of youth, they want to do this, they want to do that, and you know, obviously been there before. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, DB, David Blinkinson, just was an unforgettable character, always so interested in everybody, and he would ask you how you're doing one day, and you perhaps mentioned something that was concerning you, and 3 weeks later he'd ask you, how did that go? Mm-hmm. And you'd forgotten yourself what you'd asked for, mm-hmm. but he'd remembered. Mm-hmm. And his faithful witness in the community. He went to Boat Hill and he collected papers. Not quite sure what he collected them for, but he just seemed to have any excuse at all to go and meet people and share the gospel. And of course, that meant when somebody died or had a pastor in need or a difficulty, David was the person that they turned to, and he was at the door, first of all, for them. And he just was so interested, and he always put himself out and put other folk first. And that point, I was kept busy work-wise and not really fit and not getting out and about a great deal. And he made sure I got one good walk every year, and that became the sort of annual Christmas New Year walk, which grew into quite a sort of institution with David, and that's much missed. We have tried to carry it on since then, but we went all over the place. Really, maybe got a map of Scotland and put sort of lines you'd see. You went south, north, east, west, everywhere, and with random people of all sorts, you know, occasionally yourself.
Indeed.
But he just would draw people in. Although at meetings, he was hopeless at coming to the point. You know, people were trying to focus on the decision. And you could think about this, and how about that? And he'd widen it out, lengthen it. But that was his natural way of thinking, was always to gather in and bring people out. Karen Gurley is similar. She has that idea of gathering in as many people as possible. Yeah. You know, don't leave anybody out. Very, very commendable.
Yeah. Yeah. The people I've mentioned here, but the sort of thing that sort of changed me was, I think one, I can even, it would be years ago, 40 odd years ago, we used to sit right in the middle of the church. We don't sit there now, we sit in the creche with the kids jumping all of us. And it was one night, and it was a guy from France speaking, and I just felt something happened that night. You know, this guy, nobody else is here, the church is empty, and this guy's just sort of, I'm actually tingling anew, mentioning it, you know, that it felt as if this guy, he's just speaking to me, there's nothing else, nobody else here, and I'm just, this guy's just, giving his all to me, you know, and that changed me from there. That was went on to the sort of baptismal classes and then we go, and then I got a guy holding my towel, you know. But that was definitely a night for me. And the church was very busy. And we happened to be sitting right in the middle, and I thought, damn me. You ever look about and you think, I don't think there's anybody else. You know, it's there's nobody else here. I'm sitting here myself, this guy's talking to me, you know. The guy from the
door. In French or in English?
He was French.
Yes.
French, yeah. It wasn't speaking French, of course, you know. I wouldn't have known what he was talking about.
There's something wonderful about seeing that photograph of the baptism now.
Yeah.
Hearing that story as well, that lies behind it.
Yes,
it's wonderful.
I think that would annoy me.
I know some of you were involved in Men of God. I don't know if all of you were or not.
Not me.
But
no.
Do you want to share at all about Men of God? No. No.
I'm not the one that was
involved. Oh, was it? Right.
So it was something that God really put in my heart, you know, back in the day. And I just thought it was an opportunity to for guys to be guys, to go. I suppose it's a precursor for the mental health stuff that we're seeing now, accountability. That was a big thing, that we acted like men of God. And what does that look like? And it was well attended. I mean, you know, Gary came as well, and Craig came along, Mark came along, you know, and it wasn't for everybody, but whatever was said in that room stayed in that room, and we, you know, guys were broken in that room. Guys really were broken and healed and challenged by each other. We even had a retreat. We had went to Balquhidder, Eddie Kelly and that, and we went to Balquhidder for a weekend. Andy Crichton was there. Alistair was there, Gary and John Hurd, it was a fabby weekend. But we prayed together, we were accountable to each other every week. We built on it, that we eventually go for walks and things like that, and coffees and chats, but very much God-centred. How was your week? Accountability. And it had a very good season, at least two or three years, you know, you built very good relationships there, with guys, and you understood, you know, you understood each other, and you knew if you needed prayer, if you needed support, we were there for each other. Yeah. It was something that just grew out of, you know, us taking care of each other, really. But you know, it doesn't always have to run for a bit.
Seasons.
Fruitful season. Yeah, it's a very fruitful time.
Yeah.
A real blessing.
Yeah.